Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter and former host here at PW Torch Livecast. If you're looking for my shows, they have moved as of July 2017. They're now called the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, available through Podcast One. Enter Wade Keller on your podcast app or iTunes and subscribe to the new Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, where I cover Raw at my first show of the week, SmackDown with my second show of the week, and then the Flagship Edition with a co-host, and we cover a broad array of pro wrestling current events. And then I end the week with a weekly interview. That's the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, now at Podcast One. Subscribe today. Just search Wade Keller.
Beaming to you live from the Polyester Pleasure Palace on the shores of Lake Washington, or at least as close as I can get in my tax bracket. Guess who's back? Back again. Valley's back. Well, you're a wrestling fan. You don't have a lot of friends, but at least that's what people think. Because we are white trash wrestling fans, and remember, my slogan is always, you don't have to be white to be white trash. It's Jim Valley, and yes, I have returned. The wishes of all three of you have been granted. I'm back. I'm back on Wednesdays for some reason. I don't know why. Wade asked me to do a retro show again, and I was thinking probably Thursday, right? Thursday, because you've got Monday with Raw and Tuesday with SmackDown, so Wednesday would probably be a show to talk about SmackDown, but oh no! Au contraire, mon frère. Instead, Thursday is to talk about everyone's favorite show, Impact. I don't know. Look, I don't even work here. I'm just here. I don't even know why. So I guess some human contact in my crazy messed up life that I lead. So anyway, so this is supposed to be retro wrestling. We're going to talk about one day, whenever it was you grew up. But here's the thing. Wade goes, hey, Jim. I go, yes. Well, what do you want to call the show? And well, why don't we just call it Way Back When? Can't call it Way Back Wednesday, because that would cause confusion in the marketplace with the Way Back Playback, which Pat McNeil and I do on Sundays. So much like Shane Helms can't be Shane Helms in the WWF because of Shane McMahon, and Steve Regal interfered with Steve Austin because you're just not smart enough to handle it, we need a name for this show. I was thinking we call it like Back in the Day Wednesday. I don't know. I got to call it something, though, and I don't know what to call it. Jim Valley's White Trash Wrestling Roundup. I don't know. I don't know what to call it. All I know is that we need to call it something. So we'll figure that out as we go along. If you have any suggestions, you can do that at 515-605-9345. And wouldn't you know it, on the day that we're set to launch this goofy thing, we get a whole bunch of modern news. Just cannot catch a break. Shane McMahon goes down in a helicopter and survives, thankfully, which is very good news that he survived, because certainly we don't want any real-life harm to come to anyone. And also, the information that Paige may now be charged with a crime in the Orlando airport for domestic violence, domestic battery for assaulting Alberto El Patron. This is just not going to end well there, and I feel bad for them. So I'll tell you what, we can talk about that a little bit later on. We can talk about that. But for right now, I do want to talk about retro wrestling, because I figured what I want to do with this show, and this is kind of what we did with the Saturday morning show. And by the way, I did really well with the numbers on Saturday mornings. We were always like top three, sometimes even the number two show of the week. And I really appreciate that, considering it was a weekend show. I didn't have like huge name guests, and, you know, and I really appreciated that. So hopefully we can do a lot of the same thing, and you can come out and show me some support and show me some love as we do the show. But anyway, as we move on, what I want to do is try to tie this show into things that are going on in modern wrestling. And I figured with the Mae Young Classic happening, and not only the Mae Young Classic, but with the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, now popular on Netflix, one of the it shows of the summer. And also the fact that I did the Q&A this year, the seminar this year at the Cauliflower Alley Club in Las Vegas for the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. I figure we'll talk with some of the Glow Girls, and we'll get a couple of them on other shows. And I'm only going to do one at a time, because when you have them on together, don't get me wrong, ladies, I love you, but it's just chaos. And I'd rather have some real stories and some fun and talk about individual experiences than just everybody chiming in and just it going nuts. So on the show today, the bad girl of all the bad girls, the legend in roller derby, the legend in Hollywood, and the legend for the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, the one, the only, Matilda the Hun, also known as Queen Kong. And she is awesome. She is amazing. And we'll talk about her coming up in just a... Actually, let's talk about her now. That's cool. We'll talk about her now. And so her real name is Dee Booher, which is hilarious. Her last name is Booher. And she was a lady evil wrestler, a bad girl wrestler. And she has a book that really you should get. You can find it under Amazon under Queen Kong, and I would look it up under Queen Kong, and you should get the book. It's one of the best wrestling books. And here's the thing. I will give you this caveat. It's really well written, but if you I wouldn't read it to your kids. I wouldn't have your kids read it. And if for some reason you are particularly have certain religious convictions, I wouldn't get the book either. I would compare it to a really quality R-rated movie where, you know, sort of like, I can't think of one that's happened recently. The only one I could come up with was say like a Boogie Nights, where you're telling this very adult story and the adult situations are necessary to tell the whole story. And that's how I would compare Dee Booher's life. She was this awkward girl, using her words, growing up in California. And she was 6'1", something like that, growing up in, you know, in the 50s and 60s. And, you know, she was very awkward. And you know, going through puberty is a hard enough time for any of us. But when you have a physical characteristic that stands out, whether it's your height, or you develop breasts, large ones, or you've got bad acne, or whatever the case may be, you're gangly, or what have you, whatever, you know, unusual physical characteristic you develop in that time, it can be very hard on a person. And this is the story of that. And this is a story of a woman who felt awkward and undesirable in those developing years, and then eventually decided to use these unusual characteristics that she has as a strength. And she discovered that in her size, there was power. And in her looks, there was power. And she used this power. And her life took her from a very shy, bashful woman to San Francisco and Haight-Ashbury and the sexual revolution. And that influenced her. And she talks about how it influenced her. And she also, for a time, you know, you see GLOW and, you know, in look, you know, I have a lot of respect for what they had to go through and everything, but it was not the most best executed wrestling, because I mean, wrestling is an art form, and with all due respect to the art form, you know, you can't, unless you're Kurt Angle or someone like that, you can't pick up wrestling that fast. It does take time, and the women of GLOW, while talented, were not given a lot of time to completely perfect their craft. I think that's fair to say. But Deanna Booher, Dee Booher, Queen Kong, Matilda the Hun, actually was a college wrestler, was a college female wrestler. So she had legitimate credentials. And her life took her into, you know, the sexual revolution and being in that Haight-Ashbury experience. It took her into swinging with her husband. She was kind of pressured into doing that. It took her into being a dominatrix. It took her into doing massage therapy and mud wrestling and, yes, roller derby and GLOW and acting. And if you are particularly religious and things, I still think it's an interesting book to read, sort of like Daniel Bryan's, where Daniel Bryan looks at his life with his dad dying and goes and kind of questions whether it was all worth it. Well, she sort of has this same epiphany at the end of the book. So if you can handle the adult situations and the adult things, and again, she explains all of it. It's not, the adult situations are not just for titillation. The adult situations are for, you know, explaining who she is, explaining where she came from, and explaining why she did what she did. And like I said, it's a really well-written book, and you will come to respect her. And she talks about GLOW, and she talks about, you know, roller derby and the money she made. And also she talks about being unmarried with children and who in Hollywood was a jerk to her. And she also talks about, you know, the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling and the situation that she had with the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. And it was the 80s, and there were some pigs involved, male chauvinist pigs, involved in GLOW who did exploit the women for their own benefit. You know, yeah, GLOW is funny and GLOW is comedy and GLOW was hee-haw of wrestling, but also GLOW, you know, had a dark side to it. And all of the women look back on it now when they have a sisterhood and they've reclaimed their power. So it also has a happy ending in that regard. So that's good. But we'll talk about what really happened behind the scenes with GLOW if you're watching the show. And also, I do want to talk about the Mae Young Classic. Speaking of books to read, if you want to read a great book about women's wrestling, you should read the book called Queen of the Ring. No, it's called Queen of Diamonds. I think it's called Queen of, maybe it's Queen of the Ring or is it Queen of Diamonds? Hang on, let me look it up here real quick. Maybe it's Queen of the Ring. I should have looked this up. Anyway, it's the story of Mildred Burke. And if you don't know who Mildred Burke is, then you need to get this book because it talks about the legend Mildred Burke. And honestly, if anyone should have a women's tournament named after her, it should be Mildred Burke. Yes, Mae Young was a shooter. Yes, Mae Young beat the crap out of guys and rolled them for money and all of those things. But she really wasn't a major star. You know, maybe she was sort of like, I don't know, maybe like a Dan Severn or a Steve Blackman, where they had legitimate credentials, but they weren't a major star and they weren't, you know, a big part of the act, but they were, you know, she was a badass. There's no doubt about it. So if you've never read Queen of the Ring, you need to get that book and learn about Mildred Burke. It's by Jeff Lean, and it is a fantastic book, Queen of the Ring, The Making of an American Legend. And it opens up with the famous match that Mildred Burke had. And I don't want to spoil it for you, but Queen of the Ring is the book to get about that. So anyway, it's Jim Valley. We're back here on Wednesdays. We're talking retro wrestling. You can tweet me, by the way, at Jim Valley, JimValley. And you can find me on the Twitter machine, and you can tweet me. And also, you know, you can also call in. I know that there's a lot of time shifting that happens with these shows, and you listen to this at your own leisure, and that's great. But I love interaction. So if you have the time to tweet or call in or something, that would be great as well, because I like that live interaction, because that's the world that I came from. So I'm hoping you will be involved in that and be engaged with me as we go down this show. By the way, one of the reasons that I'm here is because Wade Keller has got a new show. He is on Podcast One. And so I want to draw your attention to that if you're not familiar with everything that has happened yet. So I'm here every Wednesday talking retro stuff, but be sure to check out Wade Keller, and we'll be back because we've got Queen Kong coming up. Matilda the Hun, and we can talk Married with Children. We can talk the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. We can talk Roller Derby, just all of these things that she did in her life. And we'll talk about that and more coming up next. It's Jim Valley. It's the PW Torch Livecast. It's Wednesday's The Retro Show, and I am so glad you're here.
Don't just listen to PW Torch's brand of wrestling coverage. Read it, too, every day at pwtorch.com. Join me Monday nights for my live coverage of Raw, Tuesday nights for my live coverage of SmackDown, Sunday nights for my live coverage of WWE pay-per-views, and keep up on the news and read exclusive editorials and special features every day at pwtorch.com.
And we are doing our thing here live on PW Torch Livecast. Jim Valley, each and every Wednesday now. Hope you can join me as we take it back to the day. Now, there are a couple of ground rules as we're doing this show. Now, look, I get it. There's a million podcasts out there. And, you know, I don't have any inside information about that you care about anyway. But what I do want to do is wallow in our wrestling fandom and wrestling nerddom. But there are a couple of pet peeves. You know, I read Reddit, and the kids, they're on the Reddit, and they're always talking about the Reddit. And, you know, they make some claims like, oh, Miz is the greatest heel of all time, or Lita is the greatest women's wrestler of all time. And look, I get it. You know, you want to live in the era where the greatest of all time was, and that's fine. But look, you know, that there's metrics to prove that you are the greatest of all time, and that is money. If you drew money, if you drew houses, if you do pay-per-view, if you sold merchandise, those type of things. So look, I want to steer away. If you want to say someone is the greatest of all time, we're going to have a problem. We're going to argue that. But if you want to say that you love The Miz, that you think his stuff is great, and you want to mark out to it, have at it. You want to love the Mulkeys, you want to love the Ding Dongs, whatever you want to do, I'm cool with that. You want to say that you love Shawn Michaels and you think he was an excellent performer, no problem. But when you say Shawn Michaels was the greatest of all time, survey says, sorry, no, not going to happen. No, sorry. So anyway, but we can wallow in our own markdom and have a fun time here on the PW Torch Livecast on Wednesdays with me, Jim Valley. Hey, let's go to the phone line. Let's go to the very popular 862-862. Who's this and where are you calling from?
It's Kylan, Jim. How are you?
Kylan, where have you been? You've hardly messaged me or anything. I was sincerely worried about you, for reals.
Working on a few projects for you, but all is well, Jim.
Okay, well, good. No, I was glad. I was going to message you. I was like, God, I haven't heard him in so long. I hope he's okay, but I'm glad you're all right then. So what do you want to talk about today, Kylan?
Well, I have two questions that I would like you to say for Queen here.
All righty.
My first question is going to be what was technically her worst injury during her career? And my second question is something I've always wanted to find out, considering this is one of my favorite episodes of this particular show, but did she play one of the masked Mabels in the Mama Media episode of Vicki Lawrence's Mama's Family series? Jim?
Hey, Kylan, who do you have on the show coming up for us, by the way?
Well, one person that I've booked for you is going to be the frozen man himself, Glacier. He's coming in mid-August. I've been on the phone and emailing with him, and he's excited to come on. And I'm also working on my good friend, Fifi the Maid.
Well, there we go. Well, we'll see what we can do on that, as far as that goes. If we can make that happen.
We'll make it happen. If it's the last thing I do.
Well, we'll see what happens. Well, Kylan, look, I appreciate the phone call, and we'll see what we can make happen in the future, my friend.
You got it.
All right, brother. We'll ask those questions. Thanks, man. There's Kylan dialing up at 515-605-9345. Apparently, Queen Kong is having some problems getting in. So I'm trying to see if there's a way that I can dial out on this dumb thing, but I don't know that I can. Because she's right there. I'm trying to look for a... Oh, there she is again. There's Queen Kong. She's let's see what's going on. Hey, Queenie,
hi.
What's going on?
Well, I'm still busy.
It's
how long are you on the air for?
Oh, I'll be on the air for a little while. I don't know why it's are you putting a 1 in front of it? Maybe you need to dial 1.
Of course.
Okay.
Of course.
515.
515.
Right.
And
605. Yep.
059.
Yep.
345, right?
Yeah, that's bizarre. I don't know what's
I tried two different phones and the circuits are busy. But I'll keep trying
well,
for
here,
a few minutes.
Let me try to call you, okay? All right, bye. So here we go. Boy, this is goofy. I don't know what her problem is. I apologize. You know, she's we love Queen Kong, don't get me wrong, but sometimes people are not the most technically proficient. I even called her right before the show to see if we could make it work. We did, and then I don't know. Oh, well, Blog Talk hates me and it hates America, so let's see if we can dial her right now. So let's we're dialing, so let's see what we can do, if we can make it happen.
Hello.
Hello, Queen Kong.
Hey,
Hey, we made it. It's Jim Valley. I'm so happy.
We finally connected.
Yes, we did. I apologize. I don't know. You know, this whole computer interface thing hates me, but I'm glad we were able to work it out. And now I know how to do it. And so now we'll do this in the future. So there we go. Well, I'm so,
all right.
By the way,
good.
So Queen Kong and I had her on the show before, and she was just a delight. And then we got to meet face to face at the Cauliflower Alley Club, where I got to do the Q&A, the seminar for the gorgeous ladies of wrestling, and I even got the infamous knocker locker from the lovely Queen Kong.
That's right.
Hey,
I gave him a bust in the mouth.
That's right. Hey, well, and we'll talk about some of the things you have going on, like a GoFundMe for your condition. You also have an eBay auction that's going on. We'll tell people about that. But, you know, you did so much in the world of sports and entertainment. And like I said, I love your book because it's well written. You're a great, great writer.
Wow, I love you.
I love you. I'm a big fan. But one of the things, you know, and it does talk about adult situations, and I did tell people that, but one of the things that I think you do really well is you explain the mentality at the time. You know, you were this tall girl going through puberty, and as if puberty wasn't enough, you know, it really sort of, you know, that was the effect that it had on you. And then you sort of decided to use your size and harness it as power. And
right.
I think in this world that we live in where, you know, there's so many things with Wonder Woman and everything and so much, I don't know what to call it, but I really think that you, whether people want to admit it or not, I think you're a great role model for any girl that maybe feels out of place because of her body type.
Mm-hmm. Definitely in the wrestling world. I'm not sure everybody wants to go into the adult world. but in the wrestling world, I think I'm definitely a role model, and I'm proud of that. And the fact I'm proud of the whole GLOW show in the sense that because it represented every female type, you know, small, large, heavy, you know, we can be powerful as women, smart and sexy, no matter what shape we're in. That's what I liked, yeah.
It did have a lot of different characters, that's true. And, you know, one of the things, you know, that bothered me for the longest time, I mean, that when WWE first did women's wrestling, it was all models and things like that.
Oh,
and I'm glad that we're finally, you know, going away from that. I mean, even if you, let's just say that even as a, if you wanted, you know, guys are attracted to different body types. You don't necessarily have to be, you know, a wafer thin, you know, skinny mini to be attractive. Guys like all shapes and sizes.
In fact, a lot of guys like big women more than little women, but it's all behind the facade.
I'll tell you what, if you and I would have grown up together, I would have wanted to date you.
Well, good. That's what I want. Let's start over.
Let's talk about this, though. You actually you actually wrestled legitimately in college.
Yeah, I was studying art and philosophy at El Camino Junior College, and I was a young mother. You know, I had a child when I was only 18, but I went back to college. And I was there, and it was the day of Gloria Steinem, and she said, "Kick ass, take names, and take your bra off." So I went, I said, "Self-defense, yeah." So I got in the self-defense class, and I got very good at it, and I thought, wow, this is empowering. And then I took, then I saw the wrestling class, and I saw those young studs down there grappling around. I thought, that looks interesting. So I joined the class and got trained to do collegiate wrestling, and it was very invigorating. I really liked it. It was fun.
And this is years before Title IX was put in place.
Oh, no, actually, it was right then.
Oh, really? Okay.
Right at that moment, and I was threatened to go to I threatened to go to the ERA if he didn't take me in the class. He didn't want to. The coach did not want to take me. He says, you know, I don't know if this would be good for the class. And I said, well, I wouldn't want to have to officially complain. And he had to take me. So it was just,
you know,
then. just at that moment is when it was at work, yeah.
You know, one of the things that bugs me about kids these days is, you know, I'm not, you know, we can always get better, and things can get better for everyone and a lot of people who feel that they're on the outs, and we need to keep moving forward in that regard. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but, you know, I think people think that years before they were born that there were no female role models, and there certainly were. You know,
oh, yeah.
Certainly, you know, I would qualify you in that regard.
Thank you. Well, I think I'm definitely of a generation. I think I'm ahead of the times, you know. Now, there were many women before me in professional wrestling that you could say were really great. Unfortunately, they didn't get the attention that I might have gotten because of television and because of where the world was at that time. All the women were becoming icons because women were finally getting some attention, you know. They just didn't get the attention in the past. Yeah.
Now, did you do roller derby first, or did you do glow first?
I did mud wrestling, roller derby, then glow. And I would have stayed with roller derby, except for, and they were wonderful. They ran it so well run. It was just beautiful. The Griffiths had it at the time. And we had just the best times going back and forth to Vegas and the camaraderie. And it was really a hell of a sport. I mean, really tough. But I had skated all my teenage years, so I was quite good at it. And but there's no money. The money was so pathetic. Of course, Glow wasn't much better, but at least I was getting big television out of Glow. So that's
You also worked with. Tell me, do you have any stories about the legend Georgia Haas?
Georgia? Oh yeah, Georgia and I were buds. We were both bad guys.
Right.
Oh yeah, and she'd show me how to bop them over the head and walk away. She was funny. She was very funny. She was I think she's still with us too.
Is she?
I believe
still
she is. I got a letter from her not too long, kind of recently. She's still out there, and I thought, wow, so cool.
Wow, if you know how to get a hold of her, I would love to talk to roller derby legend Georgia Haas.
I remember that next time if I hear from her. I hear from roller derby people every now and then, you know, through this website. You get everybody coming by sooner or later. But yeah.
And by the way, your website is queenkong.com, and that's where you can find pictures. You can get a copy of the book, which I would recommend. And keep in touch with everything that's going on with Matilda the Hun / Queen Kong. I'll tell you what, I got to take a break here, Queenie. I'm going to put you on hold real quick.
All right.
And we'll come back, and we're going to talk some Glow. We'll talk about her time in Hollywood and much, much more. It's Jim Valley. We are back doing Retro Wednesday Talk, and it's here on the PW Torch livecast. You can join me each and every Wednesday, and you can also you can call in whenever you want. You can call in at 515-605-9345. Stand by. We'll be right back.
Thank you for being a PW Torch livecast listener. As of mid-July 2017, the PW Torch livecast lineup has undergone some changes. My shows have moved to a new feed, the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, available at Podcast One, or just search Wade Keller in your podcast app. But there's tons of great content every week, including Saturdays at 6 Eastern, the new Deep Dive with Rich Fan, covering a single topic in professional wrestling in depth. Join him live with phone calls at 6 Eastern every Saturday. Sunday nights at 8 Eastern, it is Wrestling Night in America with Pat McNeil and Greg Parks, where they focus on the supercards, the big events coming up in pro wrestling, or review the latest one. That's at 8 Eastern, or following a live pay-per-view, if there's a live pay-per-view on that Sunday. And then check out MMA Talk for Pro Wrestling Fans every Monday night at 7 Eastern, hosted by Mike Hisko and other MMA Torch contributors. It's a chance for fans of both pro wrestling and MMA who share that in common to talk about the latest happenings in the world of mixed martial arts. Tuesdays, it's the best of PW Torch Livecast, a hand-picked episode from our history that gives you a chance to catch up on a show you might have missed back in our earlier years. And then the PW Torch Nostalgia Hour with Jim Valley is back. It used to be called Saturday Morning Wrestling. Now it's Wednesdays at 5 Eastern. He takes your live calls and interviews some of the big names from pro wrestling's past. And then Thursday nights, following GFW Impact, it's Mike McMahon and Andrew Stoczak with a recap of the just-concluded Impact Wrestling Show on Pop TV. So as soon as Impact goes off the air in the United States on Pop TV, join Mike and Andrew live right here at PWTorchLivecast.com. They'll be taking your calls. That's the new lineup of the PW Torch Livecast. Great diverse mix of shows with a great group of hosts. Keep listening and keep spreading the word, and give us a 5-star rating over at iTunes with some kind comments in the listener comment section about which shows you like and why. That's PW Torch Livecast, new lineup. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Retro Wrestling with Jim Valley, and we are joined by the legend Matilda the Hun, Queen Kong herself. Now, you played a role in the Glow Rap, the notorious, the famous
Absolutely.
Glow song.
I wrote it. I wrote the basic chorus with my partner Hank Donnick. We wrote that song.
When did you get the idea to do it?
Well, my song, I Eat Raw Meat, launched the pilot, and Matt Simber, the brilliant Matt Simber, I'll give him credit for his good taste on me and my music, and he decided that I Eat Raw Meat was a gas, so he said, let's produce a rap. And of course, it was my idea to do rap, because I created a rap for my movie in London, as a matter of fact. And then I transferred it to the Glow thing. And then Hank Donnick helped me put it in the right format and made that wonderful music that went with it. And of course, that was the day of Refrigerator Perry, you know. He did the first rap for the footballers. So
right,
I thought,
they did
wow,
the
need to
Super
do that.
Bowl
the girls
shuffle.
Need to do that. Yeah.
And it's iconic. I mean, it's simple and it works and people still remember it today.
It's
wonderful. It's an earworm.
And all of us can do it, you know, all the girls. And each girl had her own rap. It was so fabulous. And that part was good, you know. And then I wrote another song called Nasty and Mean. That's a real good one, too. And then the good girls had their theme song. You know, we had such wonderful, stuff in our show. The music, the costumes, the makeup, the glamour, the true glamour of the 80s. Not the...
Now,
the fake glamour of the 80s of the new Glow.
Now, for you, Glow, you had already done, like you said, you'd done roller derby and you'd done mud wrestling and you had done a lot of things involved with entertainment and some adult industry stuff. And, you know, so how did you get hooked up with Glow? Did you just see the ad in the paper, the casting, like everybody else?
That was it. My girlfriend, Charlie Haynes, who was played Salt in the pilot, she said, hey, we were buddies and we'd go on auditions together. And I taught her I met her in mud wrestling, and then I graduated her to professional wrestling. And here we made different videos together and this and that. And she told me about Glow, and it was in the drama log. And we said, we got to go talk to this guy. He's doing a television show with music and wrestling. I said, yeah, let's go. So we went, and I met Matt Simber in Hollywood, and we hit it off. And I had waited almost a year for the show to be launched after that, because we had to go through writers and costume designers and finding a proper cast and training of the new girls and all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
Now, Matt Simber was at the Cauliflower Alley this year when the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling took the women's honor. And I had, like I said, I had the privilege of being able to host the seminar. But really, all I did was introduce Matt and let him talk and then introduce you guys and let you talk. I really didn't, you guys didn't even need me. It was a lot of fun, but you guys didn't even need me.
Well, it's a good thing we had someone to pass the mic around.
Right, exactly. I was a glorified mic stand. But how did you, what were your impressions of Matt Simber back then? Because he seems very charming and willing to take a chance and pretty creative.
Very charming, very brave. I loved his controversial take on, you know, the things that we put in the show, the totally racist stuff. But that was, you know, he took the heights of satire and put it in the show, and he didn't, and he wasn't afraid, no holds barred, you know. And you could get away with that then. You have to be politically correct now, you know. But then we could be politically incorrect, and we just took so many chances. But it was with his imagination that we did it. David McLean was great because he brought the Midwest sensibility to the whole thing. But Matt took it in the wild direction that took it into Hollywood times, you know. And I admired that. He had a great mind. And like I say, he had a lot of experience with directing. And he taught, and everywhere he goes, he teaches people something, you know. He's a very sarcastic person, but some people teach you, you know, in a sarcastic way. So you learn to appreciate that, you know.
Why did people not like, seemingly, you know, in hindsight, a lot of people just kind of scoff at David McLean now that were involved in GLOW. Why is that?
I don't know if scoffing is the proper thing to do with David McLean. He added a lot to our GLOW show. He was a great, you know, he was a great announcer, and he really understood the old-time wrestling. And I don't think there's any reason to disrespect him. He doesn't want anything to do with us for some reason. But we're still friends. Now, he's very friendly. I went to his new show. You know, I went and watched his new show, the WOW thing. And it's decent, you know. It doesn't have the glamour. The girls are glamorous, but it doesn't have the sophistication of what Matt Simber brought to the table.
Well, you left GLOW after two seasons. You were kind of frustrated about the direction at the time, weren't you?
No, I wasn't. No, I loved the show and I loved the girls. I loved everything, but I didn't like the pay. I had a family to support. In Hollywood, I could make $500 a day as a stunt woman, and I was established in Hollywood. You know, I was making a way there. I was giving up a lot of money to be in Vegas. Shut off from everything. And when I came back to L.A. and found out that they were turning down roles for me in movies and screwed up $1 million Miller beer commercial, I was furious. And I said, by golly, you know, I need a raise. I got the girls all fired up, and all the girls, we were all fired up because we knew we had found out how popular we were, and we wanted more money. And the contract was finished. It was at the two-year mark, and, you know, we said, hey, we want some more money. And I said, hey, if you can't give us any more money, at least give us the opportunity to take the sitcoms and the films and the commercials that are coming in. Nope, nope, nope. You can't have anything. The show's a star. You're nothing. And so that was what their stand was, and Matt wasn't even at that meeting. If he had been, maybe it would have went a different way. But with David and me and Trudy the Farmer's Daughter and Lisa Moretti, Tina Ferrari and Attaché and a couple other girls, I can't remember who all now, and we were there and we said, hey, we got to have more money or else we're going to quit. And they said, go ahead and quit. Nah, you know. They were just very, very, very ignorant, I think. We could all be billionaires sitting on Wall Street right now if we had took advantage of that opportunity, you know. But they just wanted to keep it small. They didn't, and they wanted to keep us small. It was amazing. It was stupid. What can you say?
Generally speaking, how much were the girls paid?
Oh my God, they were lucky. Like, if I believe I was one of the top paid girls, if not the top paid, because I had the most experience, and you know, and. No one else had the exposure that I did. But anyway, I got $100 a day. And I tell you, for 2 years of my work, I made a whole total of about $15,000.
Yeah, when you say $100 a day, that's for each day you work.
That's just
not
the days you work. If you only work 3 days, then you only get $300. So I might have made $500 a week, But then you figure you only got, you're working for the TV season, so, you know, that's like 6 weeks, and then you take a break, and then, you know, it doesn't add up to be a whole lot either at that, you know. But they gave us how, now, for a beginner in show business, it wasn't a bad deal, because you could have your roof, you had food, you had housing, and you had a, you know, you had a regular job, and you were traveling all over and getting more glamorous and la, la, la. So it was a lot of benefits, but not for a seasoned, you know, breadwinner like myself. I just needed more money. And they didn't provide medical insurance or anything. I had medical insurance in Hollywood, you know.
And they also put you guys up. Didn't you have places where you had the room specifically, and they had curfews?
Yeah, I had a nice room. I had the room in the hotel. I was really treated well. I had a lovely room, and I ate, it was sweet. If I didn't have a child in college and a husband partner to support, I could have been happy, you know. But still, it wouldn't have been right that they didn't share the money with us, you know. There's rumors that they made at least $26 million they absconded with. Now, I can't prove that. Of course, it's you know. But I have pretty good sources about that. So
wow,
they made a lot
money.
Of money off of us and did not want to share. It wasn't right.
We're talking with the lovely Queen Kong, Matilda the Hun from GLOW. Which do you prefer, Matilda or Queenie? What do you like better?
Well, it depends on where I'm at. I think every day people, I'm Queenie. And if I'm in my Matilda the Hun persona, then I will let you know.
I understand. Hey, I got to take another break here. We'll come back, and we're going to talk about why she didn't go into the WWF and her meeting with the fabulous Moolah. You're going to want to stick around for that. Plus, we'll talk about the end of GLOW. We'll talk about her book and also a great eBay auction. There is a custom Matilda the Hun figure. You can search for it on eBay, and all the proceeds go to help Matilda the Hun, who is just awesome. It's Retro Wrestling. It's Jim Valley. I'm so glad you're here, and we'll be right back.
Rich Fan, formerly of the Primetime Friday Laughcast with Bruce Mitchell here. I want to tell you about my new show, The Deep Dive with Rich Fan. On Saturdays at 6 p.m. Eastern weekly, join us as we dive into a single subject, some weeks as serious as race, gender, and stereotyping in wrestling, to as fun as which IC champs could fit into another era, and anything in between. We'll have guests from inside and outside the Torch family to cover the subject of the week, and of course your calls and emails. Prior to each episode, I'll put out on social media the subject and some notes, places where you can also bone up on the subject of the week if you're so inclined. I'll also devote shows to two of my favorite international promotions, New Japan Pro Wrestling and Progress. All are welcome. No secret handshakes here, because Saturday nights on the live cast are officially all right for diving.
I want Matilda the Hun. She's the timber, but I'm the axe. And I'm going to chop her down and send her to the sawmill where she belongs. I wrestled all over the world, and now I will win this match. I will show who is the only giant in the ring. You damn right, Fritz.
There's some promo stylings from the great Matilda the Hun and her arch enemy, Mountain Fiji.
Can you hear me okay? I got you on speakerphone now.
Yeah, I can hear you. What do you think about when you hear that? When you hear those promos?
Oh, my God. It brings out such a wealth of memories, especially Mountain Fiji. It breaks my heart. Because her and I were, you know, we're the epitome. She was the queen of the good girls, and I was the queen of the bad girls. And you know, we just had the best of times because she perfectly played her part and I perfectly played mine. We almost killed each other sometimes, but we loved it. We thrived on the adrenaline rush. And actually, we were kind of macho women, and we liked to see who could take the most pain. We were cuckoo. But we loved it, and the audience loved it. We made them bloodthirsty.
Did you ever have any say over the creative direction of, say, your character or who you wanted to, you know, work matches with or anything like that?
Did I have a say? Not too much. No, because I was kind of happy with what they were throwing at me. You know, Matt's idea of the handicap match. It was so brilliant, you know, because I, against Fiji and myself, we always had to have two little ones try to beat us up. Never been seen before. It was great. I loved it, you know. I loved all those little tag team girls, the Southern Belles after me and little Fiji and Fountain Fiji. And, you know, always two girls got to come after you when you're doing all that stuff. That was great.
Now, for all of its comedy and skits and crazy characters and stuff, one of the things that surprised me is how offset, off stage, out of the ring, they wanted the good girls to be with the good girls and the bad girls to be with the bad girls. They wanted you to protect kayfabe some reason.
Well, that's definitely that was David McLean. And I think Matt liked it too. That's the old style, kayfabe. You know, you've got to protect your image. And I remember many a time when I was back in the original Olympic Auditorium days, we would not hang out with the bad guy, you know, the heels or the babies. If you're a baby, you didn't hang with the heels, you know. Very strict, very strict. And they liked it with the girls. And it did, you know, I honestly thought it would help the fantasy be more real, too. However, what I've found now is people don't care if you're a bad girl or a good guy when you're in the ring. I mean, they want you to be your character. It's like watching a movie. They know what part you're playing, and it's okay if you're a bad guy, and when you get off the stage, you go hang out with a good guy. They don't seem to mind nowadays. Now, they used to take it very seriously, but I think it's a little different now, because you can still be your character, so it's all good.
Tell me about, in the book, you tell a story about how you got into wrestling, where you went to the Olympic Auditorium, the storied Olympic Auditorium in Los Angeles.
Oh, God, yeah. Tom Ernesto was the matchmaker, and what's his name? Hulk Hogan wasn't even Hulk Hogan yet. And he was there wrestling under the name of Terry or something or other. So I said, I took my college wrestling class, and I thought I was bad, you know. And so I went down there, and I said, this is too much work not to get paid. So I went to the Olympic Auditorium, and I said, hey, you know, look at me, I'm different. You can use me. I'll work hard. You know, I know how to wrestle. And so the matchmaker knocked me on my ass and laughed at me. And he said, you need to go to professional wrestling training. I said, okay. And I did.
And you actually...
Yeah, I went to some training, and then I got good at, you know, I got good enough at it to think of, you know, bigger pastures, like going with, the only way you could get, what I found out was the only way you could be a female wrestler on the big circuit was to work with the moolah. And that's what Ernesto had told me and many people, hey, you got to get with moolah if you want to be a girl on the circuit. So I called her up, and I said, hey, you know, I've been training, I'm ready to go on bigger, you know, I want to be part of the WF. I forget what it was called then. I think it was the WF. And Vince McMahon, anyway, senior at the time. That senior was the one who was handling it at the time. But anyway, so I called, talked to Moolah. She said, well, meet me in Vegas. I'm going to be out there for this weekend. Fly on up, and we'll have a talk. So I flew up there. We had a lovely dinner together. And she told me at the dinner that the only way I could work for her was to give up a year of my life and live on the farm in South Carolina and get training and be managed by her. And I'd already had a career out here. You know, I really wanted to be with the WF very much, and I wanted to work for her very much. But I said, I'm not giving up my husband and my son for a year. I didn't tell her that. I was thinking about it. She said, well, you think about it. And she said, why don't you spend the night, and we'll have breakfast in the morning and see what you say. So we go back to the hotel room, and all of a sudden, before me is one bed in the hotel room. Big old round. Oops, wait a minute. Drop the phone.
So there's a big old bed in the hotel room.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Phone just dropped. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, sweetheart.
Big old bed in the round. Oh, this is a circus, no less, with mirrors above the bed. I looked at the bed, and I go, oh, my God. I was thinking in my mind, am I expected to do something here? And I said, no. I put it out of my mind. And so we got in the bed and pulled up the sheets. And all of a sudden, I feel hands groping all over me. And I just jerked and got up, went to the bathroom, and she didn't bother me again, but it was clear what she had in mind, and I said, no, no, no. And
yeah,
she was able to say no, take no, but then I'm 6'2", and she's 5'2".
And I'm sure you're not the first person she's ever tried those moves on.
Oh, boy, I can tell you a wealth of gossip about her. But, you know, I give her respect. You know, all people are combinations of good and evil, you know. I believe she became, her evil side came out because she thought she had to be like the men. You know, she thought she had to be worse than the men to be powerful. It's crazy, but I believe that because she was really, in the beginning, she was a good-hearted, hard worker, and she, you know, and she's a great promoter and a lot of good qualities of her, but she certainly had a very, very dark side.
I think that's a valid point. I mean, you do have to be tough to be in a man's world, and
yeah.
You know, certainly she had to deal with a lot of things like Billy Wolf and what have you. Yeah,
she had her disappointments, and she, you know, she worked hard, and she got on the man's level, and it did something to her brain, you know. It happens to people when they struggle for power. I've seen so many people get sick with power, especially in show business. Eesh. Oh, well. It's all out there, politics and show business, huh?
Someone wanted to know if when you were at GLOW or maybe throughout your wrestling career, did you have any really bad injuries from wrestling in the ring?
Oh, my God. Well, that's why I'm in a wheelchair right now. I have the degenerative disc disease in my neck and my lower back, and I have peripheral neuropathy, non-diabetic peripheral neuropathy, and that hands away from me. They're completely numb and can't function with them at all. And then I got lupus, and so this is all related to, you know, beating the hell out of yourself.
Do you regret it?
The only thing I regret is the knowledge that maybe you should quit around 40-something, you know. I loved everything except for, you know, suffering with these injuries that if we had more knowledge and more money given to us at a little bit earlier time, you'd be a lot of people in a better place, not just me. You know, a lot of male athletes have the same problems because it takes so long to make a success. And then by the time you got a success, you're too beat up to take it, but you go ahead and go out there and fight anyway.
Now, we could also talk about your success in Hollywood and some of the fun things you did there. I mean, if anyone watched television or movies in the 80s, you know that Matilda was a lot of casting directors' idea, the perfect idea of what a women's wrestler, of what a true women's wrestler should look like. And that's,
How I Got Into College is a great movie. I was played a wrestling coach on that one. That was really fun. And I was the first woman wrestling a man in a film in South America. Oh, gosh, I can't think of it now. It's not on my list. Anyway, I wrestled the man. It's a great Amazon Warrior movie. And if you go to my resume at the UBS online, you know, the theatrical website, but go to my website. I got my theatrics there. You know, I did a lot of stuff. Married with Children. I did all kinds of TV shows. I beat up Bud Bundy. I had a little affair with Bud Bundy.
Well, let's take a break, and we'll come back and talk about your time in Hollywood. We're talking to the legend, Matilda the Hun, Queen Kong. And again, I tweeted it out. You can look on eBay. There is there's an auction going on right now for a custom Matilda the Hun wrestling figure, which you can bid on. And the proceeds help pay for some of these medical costs that Matilda has to deal with. And you can also get information about her and her book and everything at queenkong.com. It's Jim Valley. It's the all-new Retro Wednesday, and I'm so glad you are here. And we'll come back with more with the legend from GLOW, Queen Kong.
When you want to know when the next episode of the PW Torch Livecast is scheduled or catch up on a show you missed, Check out our homepage, pwtorchlivecast.com. You can stream the latest shows right from that page, or download the show, or get a link to subscribe on a podcast app. That's pwtorchlivecast.com for the latest shows, and also catch up on shows you missed at pwtorchlivecast.com.
Thing. She's a trailblazer in so many aspects, including show business. We're talking to Dee Booher, Matilda the Hun, Queen Kong from GLOW. Matter of fact, I was watching cable the other night, and you came across in a movie with, I think it was Judy Landers.
Oh, yeah. That's a great, that was a wonderful part. I got to drive a 16-wheeler and handle a 22 rifle. That was great.
Yeah, what was the name of that movie? It was about...
Now you got me. I can't think of it, damn it. I'd have to look it up on my own resume. I can't remember. Anyway, it was a comedy. It was great. It's on my resume. Sorry about that. I can't remember it.
Yeah, you can find... I'm sure it'll... Club Fed.
That's the one. Yeah.
Club Fed.
And Sherman Hemsley was in that movie, too.
That's right. George Jefferson.
Yeah. He was cool, and so was there's some other actors in there that I recognized, too. They were all good.
That's so fun. Now, you also were in Spaceballs.
Oh, that's the most iconic part, perhaps, because that movie just goes on and never dies. It has a cult following, and people love me because I'm just part of that, because I played the bearded lady. I stood next to Ricky Moranis, and he goes, I forget the line. He goes, "Who are you? What are the freaks?" You know, and I growled at him and slammed him and stole the space pod from him.
Now, in your book, you say that he wasn't always the nicest guy, though.
Oh, he was. I don't know what he was any other time in his life, but he was one of those, and he's not the only one. Some actors think that character actors are nobodies. So they think they don't treat him as on the same level as number. He was really, his ego was getting stroked at the time by Mel Brooks, and so he thought he was too good to run the lines with me. I had been sent three scripts with different lines and didn't know which line I was supposed to deliver. I hadn't practiced the one that they finally decided on, and I said, "Come on, run the lines with me for a minute." He looked straight up at the ceiling and didn't even talk to me. Didn't even acknowledge me. He gets the prize for the rudest person I've ever met on a movie set.
Yeah, sometimes you catch people at the wrong time. Who knows? But yeah, that is a bad experience.
Know.
In
Hollywood, anything can happen. So, I forgive him. But I've run into that with other actors too. There's an air if you're not the star, it's weird. But that's all right. That's life. Life is weird.
And what about Patrick Duffy from Dallas? You did a show with him.
What
and he was
about him?
Yeah.
Patrick Duffy, was he in there? Did I put him in there?
Yeah, you did.
Patrick Duffy. You remember all the juicy, don't you? Yeah, he was with Suzanne Summers in his TV series, She's the Sheriff, and they had a big wrestling thing, and they wanted me in it, and I told them, look, I told them I was hurting and I couldn't lift anything, but they hired me anyway, and so so we went in the ring, and I showed him what I could do, and that wasn't good enough for him. He wanted me to lift his 250 pounds up, spin him around, and throw him down, and I said, honey, I can't do that. I would love to do anything else. So I was fired. He didn't even bother to fire me. He had the director call me, stage hand or something call me. Say, "Wait, I'm sorry, we don't need you to come back."
To me, I think you're one of the most iconic roles you had was on the very famous show with Ed O'Neill, Married with Children.
Now, I did Married with Children, but not with my scene was not with Ed.
Right, but the show. I was just saying he was on the show. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. I was in the second, glow thing. I was with Bud Bundy in the Ladies' Night. That's what the show is called, Ladies' Night, and that's when I grabbed Bud and took him in the back room. Yeah. I lifted him up. He was the last one I think I lifted on film. And Ed was so cool, I had to give him an Academy Award for being the coolest actor who ever, I worked with, because he gave me respect and honor. He told the people, because, when you do a stunt scene in a movie or a television, they do have you do it over and over and over again to get it right for the camera, for the lights, for this, for that. He said, don't make her do that lift over and over and over again. He said, she's got it. She knows what she's doing. So just get the lighting and get one rehearsal and then let's go. They waste so much time in these things with over and over again. Time is one thing, but your back is another, and he respected that.
Yeah, that makes him see. He comes across as a decent guy in interviews, so that's always good to see that maybe
he's
really is.
I just say, so decent, and the only one that said hello, didn't act like he was above everybody, And he was, he's big, And he acted very, very respectfully. I really appreciate that. And then Night Court was another very respectful set I worked on. That was Harry Anderson. And John, what's his name?
Larroquette.
Yes. I love him. He's one of my favorite actors of all time. He was great. He was so funny. That was really cool.
Do you have a favorite role that you did?
Oh, I had my own bar. And I think I'd like to have that again in what's the name? I can't remember the name of that one either. It was with that little actress. She's a gorgeous little brunette. She was a runaway. Home for Christmas was the name of the movie. And in it, that's it, Home for Christmas. Yeah, and in it, I played the owner of a bar, and it was great. It was perfect for me. I wore fatigues, and I could be my badass self and run a bar. It was funny. I liked it.
Let me see if I can bring that up on IMDb. So let's talk a little bit about, we've got the, as we mentioned, we've got the eBay auction happening right now for a custom Matilda the Hun wrestling figure, and the proceeds help. We've talked about your situation a little bit, but, things are, physically, things are kind of painful right now for you, aren't they?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm in, I don't like to complain. I try to keep my spirits up, But I am in the worst shape I've ever been in. This lupus is a progressive disease. I'm doing everything I can to fight it. I have very expensive medical procedures, and to stop the inflammation and the progression of this thing, and, in constant pain from the back, and, I'm in constant physical therapy, and I do travel around in a wheelchair. And, like I said, I make the best of it. I have a car that has a wheelchair ramp. That just cost me $6,000 to fix. This wheelchair lifestyle is very expensive, medically and car, everything. I have to have a special house with doors. It's crazy. And it's very expensive. And, when you're living on Social Security, it ain't a whole lot of money.
Yeah.
And so I'm so grateful for the GoFundMe people who send me their donations. And the people who made that doll of me, God bless their soul. Do you know their names? I've forgotten their names.
I don't have it in front of me, but if you go to the auction, you can see it. They do a lot of other
custom figures. I really
want to
thank them, and I'll send them something personally. I'm not sure what yet. At least a book, anyway. And my books have been doing pretty good, so I'm really happy about that. And, of course, I want a screenwriter for my book, because I think I can put any wrestling story to shame.
if they can do the rest
with Mickey Rourke, they can do the rest of the rest with Queen Kong, huh?
I think the book is, like I said, I think it's excellent. I would compare it to like a quality R-rated movie, like, where the, some of the salacious details are necessary to tell the story. And not only that, you also explain where you were mentally and why you made the choices. And then at the end, you kind of talk about it from a place
Thank
of wisdom.
Yeah.
So I think it's
I think it's all great.
I'm a big fan, and I think
well,
that I think that and
you
also by the way I'm wearing
my attention. That's really good. That's good. Thank you.
I'm wearing my Queen Kong T-shirt, by the way.
Oh, good. Good boy. Which color did you get?
I got the gray one.
Oh, good. Those are beautiful, aren't they? Is that the one
nice.
I Eat Raw Meat?
I Eat Raw Meat. And that's a song you wrote.
Oh, you want to hear it?
Yeah, give me a little.
Give me a song, baby. I eat raw meat, I eat it plain, from the tootsies to the tummy, from the rump to the brain. I eat raw meat, I eat it raw, you better give me your beef, or I'll bust you in the jaw. Raw meat, I need your meat. How do you like that?
Brilliant.
It goes on to it talks about tube steak. Actually, that song came from London when I made a movie over there I'm quite proud of, Hellcat Wrestlers. And it was a wonderful movie. I mean, as far as mud wrestling movies go, maybe the only one they ever made. It was great. I loved London. I loved David Sullivan, the producer of the film. We had a ball. And that's where I wrote the music to begin with my partner, Alan Reba. He's a great music person, too. And he helped me write this music, so I always forget to give him credit. He's awesome. But anyway, so there I was in London, and they offered me, like the lion at the den, they gave me this hunk of raw meat, you know, on the stick. And so I grabbed it, and then my promoter at the time said, you want to write a song about raw meat? He said, that's too good, and that's exactly what I did. Because I really did eat raw meat when I was a kid. I'd go to the butcher store and buy a chunk of good old steak, good filet mignon, and I'd just eat it, just savor it. I'm a cat, and I eat meat.
That's so funny. You are so creative. You do so many different things.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyway, that's cool. Yeah, so... Hopefully, you know, I want to sing. I still want to sing in my life, so I'm going to do some more of that. But I got to keep working on my health. Right now, I just made a big old submission to Harvard University. Of all my fetish archives, my fetish, what do I call them now? The Queen Adrena archives. They're now at the Harvard University for a female, what do you call it? They do research on it. They have a complete library all about women, the Women's Library at Harvard University. And they have everybody from the first porno stars to, like, Gloria Leonard. It's fabulous, fabulous in there. And now I'm one of them. I'm an icon at Harvard.
I'm not
surprised.
And so you
can go to the library there, and you can read all of my fetish stuff and look at my fetish films and this and that. But you got to be a researcher, so I think you can go there and just read. I'm not sure. Anyway,
yeah, and you and your husband at the time did a lot of things in the adult industry as far as the fetish videos and also phone sex.
Well, we were the first. I was the first person in the universe to do telephone sex, and it was a pure accident. It was just hilarious. My husband liked to, I call him Sir Poopsie. He's such a great man. I really loved him. And we were together 42 years. Anyway, we were sitting, we're living in a commune. We're trying to be cool hippies. And we thought, and we put these ads out to advertise people to come over and party with us and stuff. And they started calling and making obscene phone calls. And my husband thought they were funny. And I thought they were kind of rude. But he would tape them. And then we broadcast them, and then I start getting creative and thinking, well, if they want to talk naughty, I'll show them. And so I start talking back and saying, well, you know, what are you wearing? He said, what are you wearing? You know, I'm wearing my panties. And then you go, stuff like that. It was so funny. We'd roll on the floor. So then we moved, and we said, well, we should leave a message to tell these fans that are calling that we're moving. And we received $300 in 1 week. To get that forwarding phone number. And in those days, that was a lot of money. That was like 1973. And And so we started a whole telephone answering business. You know, we had the first telephone sex business. And it was just before the 800 numbers were born. And we had just the greatest time till the FBI came knocking on our door. It's not, we were running an international prostitution ring, of all things.
Well, and, you know, and that's the thing. In your book, you say that you did a lot of different things, but you were never a prostitute. And I've got to say, honestly, I believe you, because in your book, you know, you sort of explain your moral compass at the time.
Right.
And like I said, I think you're so open and honest and explain everything so well that some other people you would, with your background, they might go, oh yeah, whatever, you're just lying. But given the way you explain your moral compass and your mentality at the time, I completely believe you, and I understand why you didn't.
Well, I don't put down prostitutes. So I think it's a very respectable profession. You know, if anybody can do that, if you do it with dignity and you don't have to have pimps telling you what to do, you know, being the oldest profession in the world. And everybody's a prostitute in one way or another.
Ain't that the truth?
But anyway, no, I have no disrespect for anybody that's in the sex business in whatever form they're in, unless they're being degraded in any way. But anyway, I wanted to draw that line because when you're a dominatrix, it's so different. It's not about sex. It's about the mind. Yes, the sexual, erotic fantasies, but it's more about how you contact them in your mind. You know, so that's why I made a point out of that, you know.
You've done it all. Is there, looking back, do you have any regrets or something that you wanted to do that you didn't get to do?
Well, I want to do some more singing. So that's on my future. But yeah, but I pretty much did everything I could imagine and then way then some. The only thing is I would like to have known better about how to take better care of my health a little bit sooner. You know. But, you know, what are you going to do? Everybody at this age, and I'm 68 years old, has some kind of bad health. So I'm actually kind of in good shape when you look at it that way.
So what do you want people to think of when they think of Queen Kong and Matilda the Hun?
A positive role model for big, brave, beautiful women.
Don't forget smart. Exactly. And that's one of the things is, did you have to give some of the younger girls advice in GLOW? Because you'd kind of been around the block a little bit more than some of these girls who were 18, 19, 20.
I tried my best. I was always there to listen and guide them as much as I could. And I always tried to teach them a little bit about their characters and about the business and, you know, whatever I could do, I always did, you know.
Who are you still close to today in GLOW?
Oh, my goodness. I'm with Roxy Astor as my best buddy right now. And Daisy is the current champion of GLOW. She's my very, very good buddy. And then there's Sunny, surfer
the
girl.
California, yep.
And Sunny's a California girl, right?
Yes.
I forget her GLOW. Is that terrible? Anyway, I know her as Sunny. She's fabulous. And MTV. And, you know, and Hollywood, of course. And she and I are probably the oldest buddies. But Roxy and I have been getting closer because of the Afterglow.
Right.
I went on her first Afterglow cruise and had a wonderful time. And I would go again, but I just don't like, my health just doesn't support it right now, you know, but I hopefully I can get better and better. But people keep helping me with my bills. Who knows? Maybe I'll find a way to beat this silly thing. God.
And that's something is, we should mention that, they've done this, I believe, 3 times now. And there's going to be a new one, the Afterglow Cruise, where you can go on a cruise with the original gorgeous ladies of wrestling.
Yes. And if I feel better, I'll go, but we'll just have to see. how I feel, but I guarantee you, you'll have a ball. Roxy knows how to make those things rock. Have you been on the cruise yet?
I haven't, but my wife says maybe we should one of these days.
I think you should. It's a great time. I had a wonderful time. And, you know, nonstop food and booze and, oh, my God, and great company and the way they organize it with, you know, like karaoke night and the 80s night and this and that and this and that. It's really fun. I really had a good time.
So you can find out about it at afterglowatsea.com. It's the third annual cruise with the original Glow Girls, and a lot of the ones you just mentioned will be there. It's March 4th through the 11th of next year, and again, you can find out more at Afterglow at Sea. But we also want people to remember, go bid on that auction of your action figure, which is on eBay. Look for Matilda the Hun. I also tweeted the link out, so if you go to @JimValley, you can find it on Twitter, and I also sent a link out on Amazon for your book and also for your GoFundMe. So all of these great projects, the figure and the GoFundMe and the book all help support Matilda the Hun, and you can help support
her. I'm really struggling because I'm so much in debt, I could lose my house too. So, you know, I'm really struggling to find maybe I can get a screenwriter. So any screenwriters want to help me? Help.
There you go. No, and you know something? I have a condition that is similar to lupus, and I can tell you, I had a pre-existing condition. So, I mean, I had to pay out of pocket probably over $250,000.
I believe it. What?
You know, it's insane.
For your medical insurance, you mean?
For medical, covering everything. Yeah, I was in the hospital in 2012 for 90 days. I was intubated for 3 weeks.
What do you call your condition?
It's called Wegener's vasculitis. It's an autoimmune condition where my immune system was attacking my lungs, and my lungs filled up with blood. And they put you on immunosuppressive drugs, and so they put me on that, which was fine. But then I inhaled a fungus, and I have a fungus that is on my neck. It's on my cord in my neck and the cervical cord of my neck, and so I was paralyzed for a time. And it's just been a hellish 5 years. So I understand exactly what you're going through, and this is something just to tell people. You know, this is not the case of a former star or a former wrestler who, you know, all the money went up their nose or
God,
something
no.
like that. You know, these autoimmune things, they don't know how you get them. They don't know how they start, and they are expensive as hell.
They slowly dwindled all my money and everything away, you know,
my
medical
it.
Procedures. I mean, I have insurance, but as you know, it only covers, you know, so much. And then, you know,
yeah.
Oh, well, we're going to do our best to stay positive and be healthy, right?
That's exactly it. Well, look, you are a dear. You can find her at on Twitter. If you follow my Twitter, you can find her at Queen Kong. You can also go to her website, get all the information you need at queenkong.com. You can get a shirt.
Yeah.
And you can get any other, you can get pictures and all kinds of stuff at queenkong.com, right?
Yeah, you betcha. And you can also, down the road, I'm going to have the, what do you call that thing when you get on Skype? I'm going to do Skyping pretty soon, I hope. I just got to get my health together a little bit, and then I want to start Skyping out there, too. We'll see how that goes.
Well, that would be great. But look, you stay in touch. You know I adore you.
Where do you live, actually? What city do you live in?
I live up near Seattle. I'm on the West Coast. I live in Seattle.
Okay, all right, good. Well, I have relatives in, I made a movie in Seattle. That was with Andrew Dice Clay.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Really? That's so funny.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was called he was the bodyguard or something. They changed it to something else, but the only movie I was with Andrew Dice Clay in. And it was in Seattle. It was shot in Seattle, I believe. Anyway, that's all good. It's all good.
Well,
so, Jim, I love you. You are adorable. Tell your wife I want to meet her one day, too.
We will, and I'm sure I will connect with you in the future. I think you're the best, and if you need anything, you know where to find me. But all the links to everything Queen Kong, you can get it at queenkong.com, and also check my Twitter, and you can find links to the book and the GoFundMe and also the new custom wrestling figure.
and links to the spiritual lovingness of helping a down and out lady wrestler. Thank you.
And give me a little bit more song. Sing us out a little bit, Queenie.
Oh, here we go. I eat raw meat. I eat it plain. From the tootsies to the tummy, from the rump to the brain. I eat raw meat, I eat it raw. You better give me your meat, else I'll bust you in the jaw. Raw meat, raw meat. I need your meat to feel complete. Raw meat, juicy and hot. Is the joy of the beast and the fear of not. You should have it, you'll find it grand to surrender your soul to my ultimate plan. Is that good?
Not a dry eye on the internet. That was fantastic. Well, I hope to see you in Vegas next year, if not sooner. But you know where to find me if you ever need anything. And you are just the best. And I hope everyone goes and buys the book or bids or contributes to your GoFundMe or whatever. You're just
the
best.
You guys ever get down here to L.A., to the beach area?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, one day if you get down here near Seal Beach, you better give me a call.
We will do that. We'll go do lunch or something.
Yeah, raw meat.
All right, Queen. You're the best. I adore you.
Thank you, Jim.
All right, love you, sweetie. Bye. There's the fabulous Queen Kong. How about that, huh? Talk about Matilda the Hun. Talked about Ed O'Neill. Talked about Patrick Duffy, and talked about the fabulous Moolah and so much more. Plus, she sang. Well, that ain't a bad first show, kids, if I do say so myself. Next week, another great show. Be sure to be fired up, because thanks to Wrestler Weekly, you can find at Wrestler Weekly, we are going to be fired up next week, and we are going to have the one, the only Wildfire, Tommy Rich, on the show. He's got a new wrestling school. We'll talk about Tommy. And for those of you who don't know, Tommy Rich was, for a time, the literal biggest star in wrestling. When cable TV hit, he was the biggest thing. And we'll talk about that and so much more. So share the show with your friends. Find me on Twitter at Jim Valley. I'm also on Facebook if you want to find me there. That's cool, too. But share the show. I hope you enjoy it. And we're going to try to make some things happen. And until next time, as always, remember, you don't have to be white to be white trash.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, I invite you to get even more of what the Torch offers by becoming a PW Torch VIP member. Not only do you get ad-free access to our website, the mobile site, and the desktop site, and access to about 30 years of our archives, including over 1,500 back issues and thousands upon thousands of hours of our audio shows going back to 2004, plus tons of retro radio shows from the 1990s. But you also get over 15 VIP exclusive podcasts per week, in addition to ad-free editions of these PW Torch livecasts throughout the week. So we take the ads out of the PW Torch livecast for VIP members and then give you over 15 other podcasts per week, including what started it all, the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show. I host that with Bruce every weekend, and we spend a couple hours talking about the biggest stories of professional wrestling and wrestling history. It's one of the longest-running weekly pro wrestling podcasts on any subject, and it's one of the main reasons people go VIP and stay VIP. Another is The Fix with Todd Martin. I host that every midweek with Todd, and we get Todd's expertise and opinions every midweek on current events in professional wrestling, not just WWE, but all promotions worldwide, including New Japan. Plus, we end every show with some expert MMA talk from the LA Times columnist and SureDog contributor, Todd Martin. And there's so much more. The every single day weight cover hotline with news updates every single day, Monday through Friday. And every Saturday and Sunday, I do the SE Editor format of the Wade Keller Hotline, where I answer VIP member questions in depth. And there's so much more. There's the Wayback Playback with Pat McNeil and Jim Valley, Wrestling Audio Community with Sean Radican, the WWE Future Pass Show with scouting reports on prospects and a look back at the indie career of current stars, the PW Torch East Coast Cast Extended VIP Edition, the retro radio shows. Every Thursday, a new retro radio show from the 90s drops, from the early 90s or the Attitude Era. And last but not least, my in-depth Raw and SmackDown reports. You can get a full chronological rundown of every episode of Raw and SmackDown with my analysis of the show in-depth every Monday night and Tuesday night. So check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. We give you a lot here at the live cast, but there is so much more. The vast majority of our work is for our VIP members, and you can become one today. Go check out details on a subscription at pwtorch.com/govip.
Yeah.